Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators. I am so glad you are here with us today. It's the podcast for translators and other freelance linguists with marketing and business tips. In this episode, we're going to talk about content marketing and how freelance translators can either use it to promote their business or work with it as a diversification or side business. With me today, I have a German to English freelance translator, editor, and copywriter. A nice vacation for him is spent on his bike with his family. Listen to this. He and his wife biked the famous Camino de Santiago in Spain last summer with their 15-month-old in tow. They rode about 735 kilometers from Pamplona to Santiago de Compostela in 13 days. I'm not sure I could do that with a 15-month-old. Welcome to the podcast, Matt Baird.
Thanks, Tess. Very happy to be here.
It's nice to have you, and I know you have another baby on your way. Are you planning any other family road trips by bike anytime soon?
Yes, we are, actually. My wife and I are talking about doing a first experimental short bike ride in late August, early September with number two. She'll be 4 or 5 months by that time. Something a lot more tame than our trip in Spain. We'll probably just go do the bike path that goes down the Rhine River here right by our door. We want to do it with an overnight and sort of test the waters, what it's like to do a bike tour with two kids in tow rather than one.
I remember I was tent camping with a three-month-old. Well, 14 years ago now, and we were in Yellowstone with bears, and a bear had, you know, gone through the camp two nights in a row.
Wow.
And I was nursing, and you know how with bears you have to put away, you know, store everything in
yes,
containers,
yes,
and not nothing that can smell of anything in your tent. I didn't sleep at all that night.
Wow, I can imagine.
I was so nervous, and at 6 a.m. the next morning, I got up and we found a cabin to stay in for the second night.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. We're definitely planning on not camping. In fact, our trip in Spain, we had a tent with us, but there were accommodations everywhere that were relatively inexpensive. And I have to tell you, after a long day on your bike in, you know, 38 degrees Celsius weather, it's really nice to get a hotel room, and I even would look for places with air conditioning a few times. In the little villages, that was more difficult, but in the larger cities, we always got a place with AC just to get a little break from the elements at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, let's get into the subject. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself and your career in translation.
Let's see. I guess I'll start. I'm 41 years old, originally from Minnesota, grew up in Colorado, and I've been now in Germany since 2008, and I'm married. You mentioned I have a 2-year-old son, and that my wife and I, of course, are expecting number two, a little baby girl, coming in early May. My career in translation, I've been in the business about 15 years now, give or take, with a bit of a break at one point. Do you want the long version or the short version? I have kind of a long story. Most translators...
Probably the short version today.
Okay. Well, all right. I'll try to give the...
What brought you to Germany, for example?
The first time back in 94 was I followed my heart at that time as well, but I was only 19 years old, and that relationship didn't last, but I like to say that I started a new relationship with Germany and the German language, and when I went back to Colorado 2 years later, I declared a German major right away. I knew I wanted to study language. I was really interested in it, and I had gotten pretty good at it in that year and a half, 2 years in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Then I added international affairs, and without going into a really long story, what I really wanted to do after my that first experience in Germany was to become a diplomat. I really was excited about international relations and sort of the differences in culture between German and Americans, and I had these dreams of State Department, diplomacy, things of that nature. But I ended up getting an internship while I was in school as a German translator in Boulder for a German company, and they ended up hiring me after I graduated. And although I actually wanted to go to D.C., that was kind of my still my dream, I took the job to sort of, you know, they always tell you want to build a resume at that time. All your advisors at the time were talking about that. And a good piece of advice is right after, you know, undergrad to go work a little bit before you go to grad school. And that's what I did. And I did end up going to D.C., so I worked as an in-house translator for 2 years and really didn't know what I was doing. But I had the awesome experiences that I was working with a couple of Germans in at that subsidiary that were engineers. So they were teaching me everything that I was doing. It was a machine tool manufacturing company, and I wasn't an engineer. So learning all the terminology wasn't easy, but I got to look at it firsthand. I saw the machines. They got to point things out to me, draw pictures, and it was a really amazing hands-on way to learn how to translate that kind of that content. So it was a great experience, which is why I took the job and stayed with it for a couple of years. But I didn't end up going to D.C. I was there for nearly 2 years and was going to grad school and working at a think tank and was following my dream, so to speak. But I got burned out. After about a year and a half there, I was working as an unpaid intern, going to grad school, moonlighting in a restaurant on the weekends, and I just really burned out. And I also didn't sort of like what I found in D.C. Sort of, you know, maybe you've heard the phrase inside the Beltway. And it is inside the Washington, D.C. Beltway is kind of a different world. And I realized I didn't like it, and in the meantime, I'd actually started doing some freelance translation work, and an agency had contacted me out of the blue, and I was doing a little work, and I contacted them and said, hey, you know, I've been doing part-time work for you for about 6 months, you know, do you have more? And they said, oh, we got tons, and we'd love to work with you more, we like you. So I quit school, packed up my bags, moved back to Colorado, and 2 weeks later, I was basically working as a full-time freelancer. And kind of didn't look back after that. And a couple of years later, I met my now wife, also German. And in 2008, I moved over here to be with her and took a job as an in-house translator where I worked for a couple of years. And in 2010, I went back into freelancing, rebranded myself as Boulder Translations with a focus on corporate communications. And one of the nice things about being an in-house translator for those 2 years, I was able to refocus on other specializations. I was no longer doing technical translations. I was doing a lot of communications type work, a little bit of finance as well. They threw at me, financial reporting, which I didn't like. But I really liked the communication stuff, and that took me down the road that I am that I am now. Has helped me expand my business in the last couple of years into more editing and copywriting.
Okay. And are your clients mostly German?
They're all German. All of my clients are here in Germany.
Okay, so but let's talk about content marketing. And you gave a presentation in Chicago called "Conquering the World of Content: How Translators Can Seize Opportunities in Content Marketing." Can you tell us about the presentation?
Yeah, sure. That was at the 2014 ATA conference in Chicago. It was basically the idea was to give sort of a content marketing 101, you know, an introduction to the subject. I had noticed when I told people about what I did, a lot of people said, well, what's content marketing, especially translators that I talked to. So I decided this could be really interesting to sort of explain what content marketing is, you know, how it's delivered, you know, what it involves, what the type of content we're talking about. And so I used examples of my own work, and the hook was kind of this this assignment that I went on several years ago where I kind of hopped around the world for 5 days for one of my clients doing some writing for them on a promotional tour. And I used that and some other things that this one client produced to show examples of content marketing. But basically the goal was to shed some light into this, you know, relatively new, it's not that new anymore, a marketing technique or strategy, and mm-hmm. give ATA members, translators specifically, some ideas about what kinds of work might be out there that's a little outside of the translation business.
So explain to us what content marketing is.
Yeah, sure, of course. Okay. It's where should I start here? You know, when people ask me this question, and I did it in my presentation, I like to quote this guy named Doug Kessler. He's kind of a content marketing geek, and he's got a big, mm-hmm. big marketing agency in London. And he says, quote, traditional marketing talks at people. Content marketing talks with people. Mm-hmm. And now the standard definition is that this content marketing is a strategic marketing approach that focuses on creating and distributing valuable, relevant, and consistent content to attract and retain a clearly defined audience. And, you know, ultimately you want to drive profitable business. You want people to buy your products. It's the same ultimate goal than traditional advertising and marketing. You're just doing it in a different way. And so the key word is valuable. You want to make mm-hmm. the content you produce, you want people to make people want to consume it. You know, a TV ad, it's just sort of thrown at you, and you're sitting at the TV and just waiting for your movie to come back on, or you flip by things in a magazine ad. But you want people to stop and really, really consume it. So even a TV ad nowadays can be content marketing. If you drive people, for example, to your YouTube page afterwards, there's a lot of examples of this. One famous one was VW's ad in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. You might remember it.
I don't watch Super Bowl.
Well, in any case, it went viral afterwards, and millions and millions of people went to the VW YouTube page to watch this video. It got shared on social media, and that was a prime example of how using sort of a traditional marketing media to deliver uh-huh. what was really content marketing, because the ad told a story, it was entertaining, and it forced people to go. So
content marketing, is it mostly blog posts and articles, or can it also be videos then?
It can also be videos. It's a lot of things. And it's kind of the way the content is delivered is what then it actually becomes. So infographics, that's sort of the quintessential and maybe one of the first content marketing techniques that was used when those started coming out years ago. Videos, blogs, websites nowadays are content marketing, because websites nowadays are much more dynamic than they used to be. It's not just an about me page, company and your products and services, and a contact page. You know, companies are telling stories on their websites, and their websites are dynamic, and they're being updated every day. White papers, how-to guides, books, these can be content marketing. This podcast, for example, is a
yes,
form of
podcast.
Content marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You are providing content to others for consumption, and in the process, you're increasing your visibility in the translation industry. That's basically what it is.
Okay. So what exactly are the opportunities for translators in content marketing? How can we use it?
Well, I can tell you, yeah, the opportunities that I spoke about in my presentation are how translators can tap into the market to increase their business or maybe expand their business, meaning to do work as editors or copywriters. And
Okay.
So now I can really only speak for the German market, because that's the market I work in. But I know from talking to others that in other language combinations, translators that there's demand in other markets. You know, content marketing is really a global phenomenon. And so you're seeing these types of things happening in other markets as well. And so basically you have companies now in Germany are producing a lot more content, I would say, than they used to. And they're doing
in English, you mean?
In English.
they're doing that because they want to target an international market. I have clients that almost don't do anything, or they do much more in English than they do in German. They don't translate everything because they also understand that they can reach the German market in English as well, because Germans speak their English is pretty good. Germans actually, a lot of Germans feel their German is very good and want to write in English as well. So you've got all these blogs, you know, corporate blogs and videos and infographics and all these studies that are being published, white papers and trend reports and what have you. And all this, of course, needs to be either translated or it needs to be written in the first place. And a lot of times edited. Like I said, in Germany, Germans are pretty confident with their English abilities. So they'll do a lot of the writing in English themselves. But what they produce isn't publication quality. So then they, you know, the smart companies, let's put it that way, will then go to a native speaking editor or a copywriter to sort of take what they've produced and you know, give it, you know, the sparkle, maybe, if you will, that it needs to shine. So all of this means that there's the demand for, in my case, English speaking professionals, translators, editors, copywriters, is increasing. So think of it, my target language, is the demand for it is increasing. And I see job offers all the time for native English speaking editors and copywriters. A lot of them are in-house, some of them are in-house positions, but there just aren't enough expats, if you will, living over here like me to really fill this demand. So companies do have to turn to agencies and freelancers. And that's where I see an opportunity for translators who have good writing skills, who might be working already in communications, to expand their business and start doing not just translating, maybe offering editing services, you know, monolingual editing services, and even copywriting. Because, I mean, frankly, speaking, Tess, we are all writers. What we do is really writing. And if you look at yourself that way, the step into copywriting isn't the hugest step. It's not a small step, but it's also not as big of a stretch as some people might think it is.
So how would I market if I wanted to start doing copywriting and editing then? How do I market myself for that? Do I just contact people that need that?
Well, what I tell people is to first look at your own clients. If you've got some direct clients or some you're not going to find this work from translation agencies. And none of the agencies I've ever worked for do this. A couple of clients I work for do translation as well, but they consider themselves like a writer, a writing agency, or a marketing advertising agency. So they'll offer translation, transcreation, and editing and writing. But they're not a traditional translation agency, if you will. So, you know, the interesting thing about my journey into copywriting is that it began that all the writing and editing work I did was for a translation client. So it was an indirect client, but I was doing translations for them. And they liked what I was doing so much that they started sending me translations from others to rework. And then they started sending me English content written by non-native speakers, and all of a sudden then I got the request, hey, do you want to write this blog post for us? And, you know, I was a little hesitant at that when that one came in. All the editing and editing and translation, it's something all of us translators do. We all proofread at some point. Some of us don't like it. Others do. I actually really enjoy editing a translation if I'm given the freedom to really take the translation and do with it what I think the client wants. And my clients trust me that even if I, you know, really rewrite it, that they're getting a better product. So I guess what I'm trying to say is look at your own clients and see what they're doing. You might be doing some translation work already in these fields. Some of the things that I've mentioned might be already the types of things you're translating, a you know, magazine article, customer magazine, blog post, whatever. Go look and see how much are they producing? Are they producing stuff that's not in the source language? Or is there a lot that they're producing that you're not seeing? And then contact them and talk to them. If you've already got a good relationship, there's no reason why you can't branch into it, especially if you see, you know, subpar quality content on their website or blog or whatever, and you see this is not a very good translation. They should give this to me. They should give this to me and let me improve it. And I found that when I do that, my clients are very happy when I point out something that's not a high quality. I don't get, you know, sort of snide remark back. It's not seen as negative because these are clients that I'm already working for. They trust my judgment. The other thing is that you need to look then into freelance copywriting or freelance editing. And there is a world out there, just like our translation industry. There are associations, there are job boards, there are things that you can join and places you can go. Put it up on your website. Make sure you're advertising that you do these types of services. And make sure your website is also extremely well written. That is really a showcase of your writing skills. So these are ways to go out and look and find. But it's very similar to how to find translation jobs, except that you're moving in a different industry, and you have to see that. If you do go with your direct clients or any of your current clients, then obviously you're kind of melding the two. But you're really going to have to step out of the box here. Translators are going to have to step a little bit out of the box and look outside of the realm they might be working in now.
Okay. So, but what if, do you use content marketing for your own marketing, or how can we use it to market our services?
Well, it's actually a really good question. Because I guess you would think that all the experience that I now have in content marketing has translated, so to speak, into content marketing of my own, and I'd love to tell you that, but it really hasn't. I am on Twitter, and I have a corporate business Facebook page, so I am sharing content. Which is a big part of content marketing is sharing content. A lot of companies not only produce content, but they curate other content. You see a lot of translators, people that I follow on Twitter, they're doing this as well. That is all part of it. And I do that, but I'm not really producing my own. I mean, I could write a blog, I guess, if I had the time, and that would be a way. So all the translators you know out there that are writing blog posts, you know, that is really content marketing, what they're doing. And that is not something that I do. I simply don't have the time. I wish I did. But one of the reasons is I just have more work than I know what to do with right now. I'm not really actively looking for new clients.
So a lot of us are already doing content marketing as part of our marketing strategy then.
Basically, if you're on social media, you're blogging, you're podcasting like you, you are doing it in one way, shape, or form. Obviously, companies are able to do it on a much larger scale. And I think it's good. I think it's a great way to gain exposure. Things like speaking in public is also something is said is a great way to get exposure. But writing a blog and demonstrating that you were, sort of thought leadership and expertise in the industry is a way to increase your exposure, and content marketing allows you to do that, and it allows people like us, that are freelancers, to do it on a fairly large scale. The internet just gives you that ability.
Okay. So what marketing strategy are you using right now that works well, or are you marketing your business at all?
Well,
if you don't need any new clients.
Yeah, I am marketing my business in that, I have a website, but one thing that I did is 2 years ago, I completely revamped it, and I wanted it more to reflect who I was and also my writing skills. So I made it more dynamic. I tried to make it more fun. Some might say it's not professional. There's a picture of me skiing on the website. But I think in my line of work, what I do, it really strikes the right tone, and I've actually been told that. I've had multiple new clients come to me via my website, or at least they've said they found my name and then looked at my website, and then my website convinced them that I was the right person for the job. So I think it's really important. I think a lot of translators, they're up there online, and it's like this, okay, I have to do this. It's a must. I have to have a web presence. But don't think of it more than just a, okay, about me page, products page, services, and contact. And they also write too much. I see a lot of websites where it's just way too much content. No one's ever going to read that. And that's something that I tried to do. I tried to box it. I tried to really compartmentalize it. So make it easy to consume. That's so that people want to consume it. And this is, you know, comes from content marketing. And I also had it professionally translated from a couple of colleagues, and I really had them rework it and fine-tune it. I wanted the German to really read like fresh copy. I wanted it to not read like a translation. I really feel like that's what happened, because that's what I sell when I do marketing and corporate communications translations, is that I'm delivering a translation that doesn't read like one. So I think that's really important. That might be something that's kind of overlooked nowadays, or not given as much importance as it should. The other marketing tool that I've used over the last few years that not very many translators do, and I would highly recommend it, is a portfolio. You know, most of us translators, and I did it too when I first started my freelance business, I sent my resume everywhere, you know, and I was on job boards, and I was filling out the forms of various agencies. But if you're looking for work in, you know, to direct clients or marketing agencies looking to get into, you know, editing or content marketing, they're going to want to, prospective clients are going to want to see a portfolio. They're going to want to see your work. They're not going to send you a test job. At least that hasn't been my experience.
No.
So they really want to see your work, and that's,
they want referrals, testimonials, and a portfolio or samples.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that you can put on your website. You can put links to samples of your translations or your portfolio.
Yes, and I do. Mine is actually a PDF that's available for download, and it starts with a brief bio, and then I have several examples of translation, editing, and copywriting work. So sort of three categories, and then I give several examples in each category. And I've had some good feedback on it, so I think it was a really smart move to add that to my marketing materials.
So let's put links to this in the show notes, to your website and your portfolio, and if you want, you can share your presentation too.
The presentation doesn't share very well. It was very, interactive. And when you create a PDF, it's not very well, easy to read.
All
so
right.
I can't offer that, I'm afraid.
Well, we'll share your website and your portfolio.
Excellent.
So.
Great.
So thank you, Matt. I'm sorry to cut this short, but we have other engagements coming up.
Yeah.
So apart from the odd blog post on my website, Swedish Translation Services, I don't actively use content marketing for my translation business, but more so for my marketing training business.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for the tips, and I agree that the website should reflect your target group, and it will resonate with them more if it's personalized.
Yes, very much so.
So thank you for the tips on content marketing. Perhaps we will all be copywriters after this.
I hope so. It's a great way to diversify your income stream. So I highly recommend looking into it. And thanks so much for having me today, Tess. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And a summary of this episode plus links can be found on marketingtipsfortranslators.com, where you can also comment, click to leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher and say what you think, plus other resources. So thank you, Matt, and thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
Hey, before you go, I wanted to make sure you know about an upcoming workshop on how to become more visible as a translator online. This is a 3-hour workshop on October 28th. So if you know that you should make your website, LinkedIn, and online content better, but you're not sure how, this workshop is for you. We will go through what content you need on your website, how to optimize your website, how to work on your LinkedIn profile. I will show inspiration. And you will also learn how to use LinkedIn to find potential customers and engage with them. This is a live 3-hour workshop where you can get immediate feedback and ask any questions you have. So the space is limited. You can go and check it out at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/online-marketing-workshop. So that's online-marketing-workshop. You get worksheets and checklists that you can use over and over, plus step-by-step instructions. P.S. Also, if you can't make the live workshop, you get a recorded version and all the resources sent to you immediately afterwards. So go check it out, and I hope to see you there. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.